Well, good morning. Welcome to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 9:05 a.m. on this Wednesday morning. Glad you've joined us for another edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. I'm your host, David Boyle, calling in remote. Back in the studio, San Juan Record editor Bill Boyle. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you, David?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are things back in the Red Rock country?
Oh, man, you are missing just a beautiful morning in the Red Rock country. Spectacular weather, beautiful sunrise, full moon last night, and it's a nice time of year.
Oh, no doubt. Well, very good. Well, we've got a lot of local news and happenings throughout the Red Rock area. I know you went to the big meeting last night, Bill.
Yeah, they had the public meeting to introduce the different management plans that are under consideration for Bears Ears National Monument. That was held at the Arts and Events Center on the USU campus in Blanding last night. A big meeting, a lot of people there. There were a lot of agency people there and a lot of local residents and a lot of people who are very interested in what's going to happen with the management of this massive 1.3 million acre national monument. It was a very interesting meeting. I'm guessing 150 people were there. I asked some of the BLM people who were signing in how many were there, and they said 50, and I know that that was way off, but they hadn't added things up yet. But I thought there was a significant attendance from a lot of people. Of course, they're halfway through this public comment 90-day period. It closes on June 11th, and having a series of meetings. This is the first in-person meeting in San Juan County. It was held last night. There'll be another one in a couple of weeks at Monument Valley High School. And they've had one in Salt Lake. There'll be one in Albuquerque, be one in Arizona. Anyway, all these public meetings. In addition, there's a number of virtual meetings. I know you attended one of those virtually last week, David. That's our big front page story in the paper this week is taking a look at this Bears Ears National Monument Management Plan, these five options that are under consideration, and trying to get our arms around a 1,200-page document with five completely separate options. Anyway, it's a big task that they have taken on, and it was very interesting last night. Of course, there were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it was interesting listening to that public forum as well, that online forum. But sorry to interrupt. You got the scoop on the latest that happened last night.
Yes. Again, there were, they've had one of these meetings before. They had a management plan at the tail end of the Trump administration, and of course, when the monument boundaries were changed by President Joe Biden, it started a new process. So we've kind of done this before, but it was a different feel last night. One of the main issues, differences, with there were members of the tribal coalition who participated last night, Curtis Unito, Davina Smith, Malcolm Lehigh, Anthony Sanchez from the Zuni Pueblo, representatives of those five tribes. And they've obviously put in a lot of work over the last year and a half or so. I guess it's been about 2 years since the change was made, and ready to roll out this preliminary plan with the options. Of course, they're trying to get public comment on the different proposals that they have. There are five different options that are under consideration. The agencies feel that alternative E is the most protective, balanced approach, and that's the one that is their preferred alternative. And so there were lots of opportunities to visit with different experts in specific fields. And anyway, there was a lot of information there. Those virtual meetings are really more to give information, and these in-person meetings are an opportunity to get comments and have questions and answers. So anyway, it was very, very interesting. In that prior management plan that was introduced and then stopped, but there were 250,000 public comments with that prior plan, and who knows, there may be more there. Of course, they take great pains to point out that it's not cumulative. These are not votes, and they certainly prefer facts over opinion, and form letters are counted as one one entry, not the 50,000 form letters that may come in. So I don't know. It's very interesting. I had a good conversation with Curtis Unito. Curtis, of course, is on this commission in addition to being a Navajo Nation delegate. He was quite eloquent talking about the monument and the obvious large amount of work that they have put into that. He says, up there in the mountain, it smells like a ranch up there. It doesn't smell like a monument. He talked about just how beautiful it is up there. It's a special place, fresh air, incredible. And of course, he's talking primarily about the Bears Ears Buttes, but this is a 1.3 million acre monument that covers just an incredibly large space. Curtis discussed that the Bears Ears are like the medicine bundle for the people. They may live somewhere else, but they have a medicine bundle, or this place, this sacred possession that they have that provides the cultural and medicine, the cultural insights that they need. Anyway, Curtis was quite eloquent about that. A member of the commission from the Zuni tribe, that's Anthony Sanchez, he talked about the cultural ties of the Bears Ears for his people. Of course, his pueblo is on I-40 just east of Gallup, you know, so he's a couple of hundred miles away. But he said this area has cultural ties for our youth, and the Zuni focus is on bringing youth to that monument to learn about their culture. And anyway, it was very interesting. Of course, there's a lot of frustration, lots of emotion that was expressed there as people tried to get a grasp of what this was going to mean. And frankly, it's built-in frustration. There are five alternatives under consideration. It's a 1,200-page document. They really have had a difficult... you can't hammer down to the nth degree what each of these alternatives are going to mean. And I think that there was quite a bit of frustration from local residents of trying to get a grasp of, okay, so what's going to happen? And the answer is, well, we're still making that decision. But I don't know. I had another intriguing conversation with an archaeologist because they talk about cultural resources in this monument. Mm-hmm. And he said, in the past, when we talked about cultural resources, that was almost a number. Oh, that means there were 58 sites. He's got an archaeologist hat on, not necessarily a cultural hat, but in talking to the Native American representatives there, of course, there are living, breathing, current culture. This is not necessarily about a culture that left 900 years ago and left some intriguing things, but this is a living, breathing cultural thing. And what that means and how that's going to impact the management of this monument, he admitted they really have no idea. They're still trying to get an idea of what that means. Anyway, so very intriguing meeting. We got till June 11th to make comments. They are seeking comments. They are seeking input. They are seeking understanding of what is actually proposed. So I'd encourage people to pick up the San Juan Record or look at it online this week. David, you really wrote a good story trying to get your arms around some of these issues that are under consideration right now with the Bears Ears Management Plan.
Yeah, you know, and one of those issues that were is of particular interest to people is Arch Canyon and the potential area travel closure or an area closure to Arch Canyon for motorized travel, rather, and that's under alternatives D and E. That is the recommendation. What was the discussion around Arch Canyon at the meeting last night, Bill?
You know, again, this is such a massive thing. I mean, they talked about so many different aspects. There's livestock, recreation, lands and realty, cultural resources, firewood management. And I anticipated that Arch Canyon would really be a focus of a lot of people. And that wasn't the case that I heard. I was there for a couple of hours and talked to quite a few people, tried to get a feel for the feelings of local residents. And that closure of Arch Canyon, I think that will be, if that happens, and it's in the preferred alternative, and boy, I really got a sense that this alternative E is something that that the agencies have bought into, and of course that is the one with the most co-management with the coalition. So I really have a feeling that that option E is the direction that they are moving. That includes closure to motorized vehicles of the Arch Canyon area. Of course, Arch Canyon spills out into Combe Wash. Its head is up in Cedar Mesa, just this incredible, beloved place for people. This is an amazing place that has national park level of beauty and resource, and of course it's been accessible for in publicly managed lands for the last many years. So anyway, that I think that closure, that possible closure of Arch Canyon, is really going to be a significant concern for a lot of local residents. But it wasn't dominant in the conversation. There was just so much going on last night. I don't know.
Sure.
There were a lot of elected officials and candidates and farmers and ranchers and retired people. A lot of familiar faces. Really a significant turnout, I thought, from the Blanding community in particular. A lot of residents from Monticello. And, of course, this is just one of a handful of meetings. So people came from far and near to participate in this meeting and try to understand it and give their input on what they think ought to happen.
Yeah. And like you say, Bill, you're trying to get a sense, and I think everyone is, of, you know, what the future is, you know, and like you say, this is the preferred alternative. That's part of their process, is they've got to identify a preferred alternative, and, you know, how preferred it is, that's kind of unknown, but it is something that, again, folks can weigh in on, and they're still collecting public comment. And again, like you say, I think that's where there may be some frustration for people. It's, well, what's going to happen? Well, you know, this is what may happen, but you provide comment, you know, and you give substantive comments, that may change. Again, the alternatives are not adopted yet, and they don't necessarily need to be adopted in full, all parts. So, it'll be interesting to see what the ultimate result is. But again, folks have until June 11th to weigh in via public comment.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good meeting. Built-in frustrations, built-in lack of trust. It's fair to say that there's a significant lack of trust between various entities at play there. But the one difference between this and the prior management plan was the participation and involvement of the Native American groups, Curtis Unido, Davina Smith, Malcolm Lehigh, all local residents who were there and obviously have put in a lot of work and have a vested interest in this. You know, this is a national monument that is going to be co-managed at a level never prior implemented by this Native American coalition, and it's going to have some significant representation of cultural resource issues that I think is going to be intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be very, very interesting, intriguing. As it's the first time anything like this has been done, so very, very interesting to follow. Well, very good. Thanks for covering that, Bill, talking about that this morning. Again, we've got a lot of local news and happenings throughout the Red Rock listening area here on the Red Rock Morning Show, including the latest out of Dolores, a report from the Cortez Journal, from Bailey Duran to the Journal about the Dolores School Board discussing possibly raising teacher salaries and lowering a mill levy. That was at their latest meeting as part of that discussion. And you can read about it in full in the latest edition of the Cortez Journal, also available online at the-journal.com. Again, it's the morning show on 92.7. As part of the morning show, we've got more news and happenings for you. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Once again, you're listening to the morning show on 92.7.
Welcome to Ute Mountain Casino, where the excitement never stops. Join us for 444 Fridays. Every hour, one lucky winner wins in $400 free play, plus 400 drawing entries and 400 gift points. Rolling in free play. One winner every hour will win $400 in free play. Saturdays in April, enter our $28,000 free play giveaway with chances from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. to win up to $1,000. Local appreciation on Thursdays. Come feel the thrill all April long at Ute Mountain Casino.
Choose the best broadband internet with Emory Telecom. Right now, new customers get their first 4 months of e-fiber internet free. Unlimited data plans start at $59.95 a month. Add a phone line to any plan for just $10 a month. Plus, bundle cable TV to any internet or phone plan. Give Emory Telecom a call right now. 298-8023 in San Juan County, 259-8521 in Moab, or visit emorytelecom.com. Emory Telecom, your local advantage.
Did you know a nuclear power plant needs just 2.2 pounds of uranium to produce as much energy as 3 million pounds of coal? Energy Fuels White Mesa Mill in Blanding is becoming America's hub for a clean and reliable energy future. They're revolutionizing the way we power our world by harnessing the incredible energy contained in naturally occurring uranium to fuel clean, carbon-free nuclear power. Visit energyfuels.com to see how they're energizing tomorrow.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 9:23 a.m. on this Wednesday morning. Glad you've joined us for another edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. As part of the morning show, we've got lots of news and happenings for you. The latest edition of the San Juan Record is out now.
Yes, I've got it here on the studio board, opening the paper and taking a look. Wednesday, of course, is our publication day. Our main story, as you could guess, is the five options that are under consideration in the draft management plan for Bears Ears National Monument. We have a big event coming on up on Friday at 2 p.m. at San Juan High School. There'll be graduation for the Utah State University Blanding campus. Jasmine Blackwater Nigren, the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, is the will bring her wealth of experience and expertise as the keynote speaker of that. Anyway, it's going to be a great event. Of course, that's, Friday. Till and Dee, who earned a bachelor's degree in integrated studies, will also speak. And then Blackwater Nigren will give the graduation address. So, anyway, that's pretty exciting. There's a new CITLA. So this Institutional Trust Lands Administration, it's been CITLA for years. Now it's TLA, I guess. But they're looking at a housing project on land that they have near Montezuma Creek. I think they're partnering with Utah Navajo Health Systems. That project is moving forward. That was a focus of the San Juan County Commission meeting last week, and we got a good story about that. The school board, San Juan School Board, met 2 weeks ago, and we have a story about their meeting. They address payroll issues, whether they're going to go to two pay periods a month rather than just the one, and that whole process. There's a new book. It's a beautiful coffee table book, A Cowgirl's Conservation Journey. It's a book written by Heidi Redd at the Dugout Ranch, and we have a review of that book, and we have them here in the San Juan Record Bookstore. It's really a beautifully written and illustrated book, a nice review of that book by Jill Pearson in our staff. Mary Kochenauer has a story about bubble tea. April 30th is National Bubble Tea Day, and so take advantage of that. You can get bubble tea at the Thai restaurant in Monticello on that day. High school sports, we're just inundated with high school sports. In the spring sports, they're going full blast. Baseball, softball, golf, tennis, soccer, from five different high schools that we cover in the San Juan Record. So we've got three really good pages of sports coverage there. Have three obituaries in the paper this day. Thomas Dudley Beck, a Bluff resident, passed away on April 8th, and we have his obituary. Antonio Maria Chacon passed away in February. A lot of local roots for his family here. He was 90? No. How old was he? 87 years old, just short of his 87th birthday. And Jackie Cecil Brewer, Monticello resident for the last many decades, passed away. His funeral is coming up this weekend. Our back page is anchored by a photo of the San Juan High School softball team. The Lady Broncos are having a great season, and we've got the team photo there. So pick up the San Juan Record. That's a lot going on, a 16-page paper, a lot of good information, a lot of events going on. Local businesses certainly could use your support and have a variety of different services and goods that they offer. So pick it up.
Well, very good. Thanks for sharing that, Bill. Always excited to get another edition out the door.
Yes, it is.
Well, very good. Well, we've got more news and happenings for you throughout the Red Rock listening area. Durango Police Department's put out a missing person alert for Devon Alonzo, a 15-year-old indigenous young lady listed at 5'6", last seen at Durango High on Monday, and maybe attempting to travel to Kirtland, New Mexico area. So, law enforcement asking for help. If you know where she is, call the Durango Police Department at 970-764-7032. Again, it's the morning show on 92.7. You know, we spoke quite a bit about the Bears' draft plan the past couple of days. And Blanding City is putting on an event today at noon, and from noon to 1 and 5 to 6, the Bears' Ears Draft Plan comment writing help. So again, you may have thoughts on the Bears' Ears Draft Plan. Maybe you attended the meeting last night. City of Blanding is providing a training on how to give effective comments. They've said at some meetings they don't have a preference, you know, of how people, you know, they don't want to tell people what to comment on, but they want to provide an opportunity for folks to give effective comments. We talked about substantive comments rather than opinions, and noting that form letters only count as one letter. So it's a training on that provided by Blanding City that's going to be at their city offices today at noon. And then also today from 5 to 6. And they'll have other trainings as well coming up in May.
You know, that was a part of the frustration that I heard last night among a number of residents. They were hoping for the opportunity to make comment with a microphone in front of a group. And it was really the format there is really question and answer in a small basis, but I don't know. People, I think, feel overwhelmed by this massive 1,200-page, incredibly detailed, but five different options, and they were looking for that. So maybe this Blanding City event today will be helpful for people to get an understanding of what the implications are, rather than have to wade through 1,200 pages in order to guess of what some of the implications may be. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, And that's something that, that Blanding City talked about as they planned this. I know as they say, well, we don't want to tell people what's in the plan. You know, they're only given an hour for these, so that's why they scheduled it the day after that meeting. So I think they'll be able to answer some questions, but I think that mostly they're going to be focused on, you know, okay, figure out what you think is important. This is how to say it most, you know, effectively, you know, or to have the most weight behind it. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Once again, it is the morning show on Red Rock 92. As part of the morning show, we've got funeral notices and memorial services throughout the Red Rock area.
Yes, and funeral services for Jack Brewer of Monticello will take place at 1 p.m. on Saturday at the Monticello Stake Center of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Viewing begins at 11 a.m. Also on Saturday, the family of Stephen Carey McCandless invites friends and family to celebrate his life from 4 to 8 p.m. at Old City Park in Moab. McCandless passed away on April 8th. A memorial service for Linda Sue Long will begin at 1 p.m. on Saturday at the LDS Church in Cedar Ridge, Colorado. Long, a longtime resident of Monticello, passed away on April 15th. And the following week, there'll be a celebration of life service for Cortez resident Julie Ann Whiteley. It's on Sunday, May 5th at 400 North Mildred Avenue in Cortez at 1 p.m. For more information on these and other services, check the local newspapers or the websites for Ertel Funeral Home, Spanish Valley Mortuary, or the San Juan Mortuary.
Very good. Thanks for sharing those, Bill. Once again, it is the morning show on 92.7. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more news and happenings here on Red Rock 92.
Small banks are better, but that doesn't mean your Dolores State Bank doesn't offer the bells and whistles of larger banks like our mobile banking app, while still providing personal connections, local jobs, and community involvement most giant financial institutions can't match. When you bank with us, you get all the flexibility, mobility, and security you deserve, plus a big smile when you walk through our doors. Dolores State Bank, banking designed with you in mind. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Learn more at mydsb.com.
It's warming up out there, and Walker Drug, Moab's Everything Store, has everything you need to help you get your gardens and flowers planted in time for summer fun. The shelves are packed with lots of great camping, fishing, swimming, and barbecue gear. Park benches are 20% off, and they've got you covered for allergy season, too. Walker Drug offers local prescription delivery and a medical sync program. Walker Drug, Moab's Everything Store, right next door to Walker's True Value.
Do you enjoy working with children? Care About Childcare is looking for people who are interested in starting their own childcare business in San Juan County. Startup costs and a $2,500 grant are available for family childcare providers. A $10,000 grant is available for childcare centers. Funding is limited. Call 435-613-5619 to learn more. Funded by DWS through the ARPA Discretionary Fund.
It's tax season, and there's no better place to use your refund than High Performance Ford of Moab. Tax refunds make great down payments and can help lower your monthly interest rate. We have a wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles with deals on everything from Mavericks to Super Duties and thousands off F-150s. We offer a variety of financing options with rates as low as 1.9% on F-150s and 0% financing on Explorers, Edges, and Escapes. Call or come in today. Tax season done right at High Performance Ford of Moab. It's that easy.
Tucked away in the heart of Moab, Utah, your little slice of quilting heaven awaits. With over 1,300 bolts of fabric, Canyonland Quilts is every quilter's dream come true. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, our store is the place to be for all your quilting needs. Don't miss out. Drop by and let your creativity soar. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6 in the Moab Business Park and 24/7 at CanyonlandQuilts.com. See you soon and happy quilting.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7. It's 9:35 a.m. on this Wednesday morning. April 24th.
Man, and I don't know about that disco era. That was 48 years ago today that the number one song, 1976, Disco Lady by Johnny Taylor. It was his first number one hit with the word disco in its title. Man, and it started a 5 or 6 years of disco fever. It earned Taylor his second Grammy Award nomination for Best Male R&B Vocal Performance. Disco Lady by Johnny Taylor. On this day in 1800, the Library of Congress was established, eventually became the largest library in the world. Now your cell phone can carry basically everything contained in the Library of Congress, and what do? You watch cat videos. On April 24th, 1898, so 126 years ago, Spain declared war against the United States, Spanish-American War. On this day in 1980, U.S. forces launched a mission to rescue American hostages in Iran. The attempt failed and 8 service members were killed. That was a low point there, right? Leading up to the election in 1980 and those hostages in Iran. Today is New Kids on the Block Day. They were first established in 1984. They're the godfather of modern-day boy bands. The group and their music had a profound impact on the industry, paved the way for future groups like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and BTS, I guess now, the South Korean band. 1989, they were just so huge. In 1989, they started a tour as the opening act for Tiffany, and by the end of that tour, Tiffany was the opening act for them. They swapped it. They just became so famous so quick. After the lip-syncing scandal surrounding Milli Vanilli in the early 90s, they were accused of lip-syncing their performances. And, of course, like most boy bands, they danced and danced hard. And, of course, they were lip-syncing, for heaven's sakes. But it was New Kids on the Block that were singing the original songs, unlike Milli Vanilli. Anyway, it's also Administrative Professionals Day and Pigs in a Blanket Day. Pigs in a Blanket, that takes me back to elementary school. Birthdays today. Barbra Streisand is 82 years old today. She's won an Oscar, an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony. Pretty accomplished singer and actress. Kelly Clarkson is 42 years old today. Of course, she won the first season of American Idol. Actor Joe Carey is 32 years old today. He played Steve in Stranger Things. And
he's got a hit song out, too.
Yeah, he is a singer and is quite a talented guy. He's got nice hair. Actress Shirley MacLaine is 90 years old today. So, Shirley, have a happy birthday. I'm not sure what plane she's on right now, but she's still with us, 90 years old. Local birthdays today for a bunch of great people. Tessa Slade, Gents Brewer, Leslie Kelly, Lillian Bayless, Vint DeGraw, Jacqueline Banks, Tanner Holt, Matthew Cole Husky, and Caleb Coffey. Happy birthday to you all. If you want to give a birthday shout-out on the morning show, give us a call, 435-587-2277, or email info@redrock92.com.
Very good. Thanks for those, Bill, and happy birthday to those folks out there. That is a good list of birthday folks. Hope it's a good one for them. Well, again, it's the morning show on 92.7. Coming up next, we got the on-air job fair, job opportunities in the Red Rock area. We'll send you over to that and be back with the sports reports here on 92.7.
Listen every day for the on-air job fair on Red Rock 92. The job fair is broadcast 9 times a day, throughout the day, every day.
Ready to hire? Young's Machine Company is looking for a qualified applicant with great customer service skills. This position requires skills in shipping and receiving parts, purchasing, inventory, and data entry, as well as other office work. Applicant must be computer literate, capable of multiple tasking, and available to work Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8 hours per day. Young's Machine Company is an equal opportunity employer. Call Steve Young at 435-587-2292 or fax your resume to 435-587-2312. Enjoy great pay, benefits, and work environment at San Juan Health. Positions at San Juan Hospital include a nurse's manager, a dietary cook, and laboratory, radiology, and ultrasound technologists. Also, Spanish Valley Clinic seeks a receptionist. Apply at sanjuanhealth.org under the Careers tab. For more information, call Melissa at 435-587-1114 or email mslade@sanjuanhealth.org. The Canyonlands Solid Waste District has several openings. A mechanic, a lube tech, a heavy equipment operator, and CDL drivers are needed. If you're looking for year-round work with the best benefits in the area, stop by 2295 South Highway 191 in Moab or visit them on the web at swssd1.org. You can also call at 435-259-6314 for more information. San Juan County has a number of job openings, including Economic Development Director, an Economic Development Specialist, and an Advanced EMT or Paramedic in Blanding. Also seeking 6 seasonal workers, 2 weed sprayers, 2 road department laborers in Blanding, and 2 road department laborers in Monticello. There are also 2 part-time positions in Blanding, one for a senior center aide and the other for a library aide. San Juan County offers excellent pay and a generous benefits package for full-time employees. Get more information and apply at sanjuancounty.org or contact Crystal Brake at 435-587-3225. Grand School District needs you. Openings are for bus drivers, a groundskeeper maintenance person, a Dene Language Family Club instructor, a district speech pathologist, a severe special ed paraprofessional, and a lead teacher slash dean of students at the new Student Career and Success Center. Wages are up for full and part-time vacancies, and they offer great benefits, retirement, and holidays and weekends off. Get a job that matches your child's schedule and makes a difference. Apply at grandschools.org and click on the Employment tab to learn more. Worldmark Moab has an immediate opening for an experienced maintenance manager with a $3,000 sign-on bonus. Also, front desk, housekeeping, and house person wanted at $20.50 an hour. Worldwide travel discounts, full benefits, and limited shared housing are available. Come join our dynamic team at Worldmark Moab. Apply in person, on-site, at 1435 North Highway 191 or online at careers.travelandleisureco.com. Discover your next career at the Synergy Company in Moab. Currently hiring production assistants to join our team and help create and package our line of vitamins and dietary supplements. Positions start at $18 to $21 per hour, and new hires enjoy a $1,500 sign-on bonus. Our jobs offer fantastic benefits and on-site childcare. All positions are year-round, indoors, and offer advancement opportunities. Visit thesynergycompany.com to learn more and apply today. Lisbon Valley Mine still has a number of open positions, including heavy equipment mechanics and an industrial electrician. Lisbon Valley Mine offers year-round full-time employment with competitive wages and excellent benefits. To apply, send a resume to applications at lisbonmine.com. For more information, go to lisbonmine.com/careers. Lisbon Valley Mining Company mines and produces copper within Utah's Lisbon Valley, located in LaSalle. Blue Mountain Hospital in Blanding has a variety of open positions for registered nurses in many departments, including an OB/med surgery registered nurse. They're also seeking a radiology ultrasound tech, a scrub technician, a sleep technician, and a sleep technician trainee,
as well as a business office specialist slash registration clerk, and a food services associate.
Blue Mountain Hospital offers an incredible work experience and atmosphere with great people, compensation, and benefits. Apply today at bmhutah.org/careers. Find rewarding and satisfying work at Utah Navajo Health System. Currently seeking employees for a wide variety of positions, including medical, dental, behavioral, and support functions at locations across the Northern Navajo Nation and Southeast Utah. UNHS strives to hire the most talented and optimistic employees in the healthcare sector. Check out unhsinc.org/careers for a complete list of current job openings.
Listen every day for the on-air job fair on Red Rock 92. If you want to participate, give us a call at 435-587-2277 or email info@redrock92.com.
Springtime is popping up all around us. Come visit Walker's True Value in Moab for all the tools and materials you need to get those spring projects done. From the garden to the patio and the fun toys to the paint and lumber to build new and spruce up. Walker's True Value is Moab's one-stop hardware and lumber yard. Next to Walker Drug.
Summertime is knocking on the door in Red Rock Country, and Moab Heat and Cool, your Bryant Whatever It Takes dealer, has a special offer to help Red Rock 92 listeners get their air conditioners tuned up in time for the heat wave. Now through the end of spring, get your AC service for only $99. That's just $99 for full springtime service on your AC from Moab Heat and Cool. The deal's gone when the heat's on, so take advantage of this special limited time offer. Call Moab Heat and Cool today at 435-259-1519.
Moab Heat and Cool can now handle all your plumbing needs.
Small or medium-sized business owner? Then you know the value of reliable IT support. Introducing Cinch IT, your ally in tech operations. We handle every IT challenge, from unresponsive computers to faulty printers. We also safeguard against cyber threats with our advanced cybersecurity services. Starting with a comprehensive audit, we help secure your tech operations. Ready to upgrade your IT experience? Connect with Cinch IT today. Call or text Ben at 435-359-8229 or visit cinchit.com. Cinch IT, your IT sidekick.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Red Rock Morning Show on Red Rock 92.7. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, 9:48 a.m. I'm David Boyle, calling in remote and
joined in the studio. Joined in the studio by Rhett Sifford and Bill Boyle. How you doing, Rhett?
I'm all right. How are you guys today?
Doing good.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Yeah, well, Rhett, you come on Wednesdays, let us know what's going on in the local sports world. What is the latest out there?
Yeah, we've got some fun little tidbits today. Obviously, action is winding down in some seasons. The boys' soccer teams in southeastern Utah closing out their regular seasons yesterday. And so state tournament standings or seedings will be available at 10 o'clock. So I guess if we wanted to stay on the air for another 20 minutes here, we could report that. But so, yeah, that's always kind of a bit anticlimactic when they release the state tournament seedings right after the morning show goes off the air. But that's all right. We'll obviously report that next week and possibly, well, I believe those tournaments will begin this weekend. So we'll be reporting that on the sports report here in the next day or two. And San Juan losing at Beaver yesterday, 7-0. To close out their regular season with a 1-11 record. They were down in 20th when the RPI was removed last week, and so I'm guessing they're probably going to be about the same. Grand County, however, has really been tearing it up, and they beat South Sevier 8-2 in their final game of the regular season. They were 5th when the RPI was taken down off the website, so I'm guessing they'll definitely be in the top 5, maybe 4th or 3rd. To start the state tournament. So obviously we're going to want to pay attention to Grand County boys soccer going into the state tournament this weekend.
So the RPI is this computerized ranking thing, and they run it throughout the season, but about 10 days or a week before the end of the season, they pull it off just to...
Only in Utah. I don't understand. I won't ever, I mean...
A sense of anticipation.
I don't know. I've heard lots of things. I guess it's so teams can't throw a game to, like, they want to move into a different bracket or something and or face a different opponent. I don't know.
But they're going to do that blindly.
I wish they wouldn't. Yeah. I wish they'd keep it up on the... It's frustrating for us journalists to not be able to say, you know, they're in whatever standings they
sure
are.
But the Colorado RPI is not...
No, they have it constantly up. And, in fact, theirs comes up earlier. You know, Utah waits a couple weeks or 3 weeks or whatever into seasons to reveal theirs. And then, yeah, they pull it down last week of the season. So I don't know. It does ratchet up the drama, but for me, it ratchets up the frustration too. So I don't know. Trying to cover the sports, it's frustrating for me when it comes down, but no big deal.
Yeah, you're not a fan of RPI under any circumstance.
I think there should be some human element in there. Like if...
Oh, come on.
And then the Colorado one is weird, though, because teams will win and drop in the standings. And when they lose, they move up in the standings. So I can't figure that out either. But that happens very commonly. And it all comes down to who you play and then who your opponents have played too. That it's all
and
mathematical.
Who your opponents have played.
Right. So it's all mathematical, but it is funny to me how often teams in Colorado will win and drop in the standings and the opposite happens. They lose and move up in the standings. So I guess if you kids are listening out there, throw your games and your standings will improve, or don't win because no, that's not the message we want to send.
So we have AI that's hard to follow, and we have ret logic that's hard to follow.
Yeah, don't listen to me. I think that's the bottom line. Don't listen to me. There were lots of other events yesterday. Obviously, action heating up a lot on the baseball diamond yesterday and the softball diamond, and some interesting matchups for Grand County. They beat Duchesne 17-5, but then it was a doubleheader, region doubleheader, and in this, I think it was the second game, it went to extra innings or an extra inning. It was tied at zero after regulation innings. So after seven innings, 0-0, and Grand ended up winning 1-0 in the eighth inning. So they swept that doubleheader yesterday, and we'll look at the RPI standings here in just a minute. When I switch pages, but just continuing on with the scores. A couple good games yesterday, Monticello versus Gunnison. You know, Monticello doesn't have a lot of wins this year, but they got their third win. Tristan Felix, their freshman pitcher, has been really good this year. We were talking about it off the air, and, you know, he gave them a good battle against San Juan. San Juan was obviously heavily favored last week against Monticello, but with Tristan Felix on the mound, you can tell how big a difference he makes for the Buckaroos. He led them to a win over Gunnison yesterday, 10-6. That was game one of their doubleheader, their region doubleheader. Game two, the Buckaroos got no hit. It was a no hitter for Gunnison pitcher Landry Edwards. So congratulations to him. You know, I don't know how common no hitters are in high school baseball. We've had a softball no hitter. No, I'm sorry. We did have a San Juan baseball no hitter, and this is the second one that I know of this year. So
yeah, Parker.
That's right.
Parker threw a no-hitter.
Parker Snyder. Just going back to yesterday, San Juan baseball at Bayfield won 10-6. So same score for them yesterday. On the softball diamond yesterday, it was a local showdown over here in Monticello, and San Juan won it pretty easily, 24-2 over the Buckaroos. Trinity Whatcott pitched a two-hitter in that game. Another local showdown on the baseball diamond, Montezuma Cortez beating Dove Creek 21-6 yesterday. I had some notes. I think maybe I've mentioned them all. Yeah, I have mentioned all the kind of tidbits that we have. Why don't we take a look at some of the standings now? And I know the baseball standings in Utah, I think, are a little bit out of date, but they're pretty close. They didn't have Monticello's correct. So just looking at the 2A baseball standings in Utah, San Juan has dropped to fourth, even though they won a game. So they're 15-5 now, down to fourth place in the 2A standings. I think they're going to stay right there, third or fourth, as they close out their regular season, get ready to head into state tournament. Grand County is right behind in fifth. They have a 15-6 record. So those teams having a pretty even season with each other. Monticello is down in 12th with the 3-10 record now, but I don't know if they'll move up. They had, you know, the High School Activities Association had them at 2-10, so they don't have that win against Gunnison yesterday. The softball standings in Utah in the 2A, San Juan is 6th with an 11-7 record, Grand County 8th with a 10-6 record, and Monticello is 19th. Still looking for their first win on the year. They're 0-12. Like we said, the boys' soccer standings have been removed. Those will be revealed for the state tournament here in about 20 minutes. Moving over to Colorado, Montezuma Cortez is 19th in the 3A standings, now with a 9-8 record after that win over Dove Creek yesterday. In girls soccer 3A, Montezuma Cortez is 30th with a 3-3-2 record, so a couple ties on their season. And then in 1A baseball for Colorado, Nukla leapfrogging Dove Creek. Nukla is now ranked right above Dove Creek. They're 22nd with a 6-9 record. Dove Creek is 23rd after the loss to Montezuma Cortez at 5-9 on the year. I want to mention the Monticello golf teams. The girls, of course, are the defending champions for the first time in their history, and both teams are just dominating their opponents this year in 1A play. The girls are ranked number one in the state right now, so good chance for them to repeat state this year. And they're just now crossing over the midpoint of their season. And so want to keep paying attention to them and wish them well. I know there's lots going on. You know, we have track. It's kind of hard to talk about track. It's, you know, there's so many different athletes in track and so much going on there. But we try to report that stuff in the San Juan Record as well as we can. And but we've got some golf. We've got some track and girls soccer going on today. Girls Golf Grand is at, and San Juan are at the Paradise Golf Course in Fillmore. The Green River and Monticello golf teams are playing at the Carbon Country Club today. On in track and field, Green River, Monticello, and Whitehorse are at the Spartan Invitational at Emory High School in Castledale. And girls soccer, Montezuma Cortez is at Ridgeway today. I think that was rescheduled from yesterday. So that's what's going on in the world of high school sports in southeastern Utah, southwestern Colorado here on Red Rock 92. And I'm still trying to recover.
You're sounding better, Rat.
Sound better.
You never did sound bad. But,
I thought you were about to say you never do sound good, but.
Oh, no. The smooth, melodious voice of Rhett Sifford.
Just trying not to
die.
That's
a comfort to people. There you go. I like it.
All right. It'll be Rhett Sifford in the overnights with the romantic music.
Hey.
With this voice right here. Maybe not. Maybe not. Like I said, don't listen to me. That's the general rule. Just don't listen to my suggestions, probably.
No. Well, very good. What do you think, David? What about the regional report?
Yeah, I don't think I can give as good a report as I'll do my best. No, taking a look at the regional report, National Basketball Association, the Phoenix Suns. They got beat by the Minnesota Timberwolves last night, 105-93. So they're now down 0-2 in that series. And they'll look to try and get things squared away this weekend in Phoenix. Looking on the ice, regional team doing a little bit better. The one regional team in the playoff, the Colorado Avs, they beat Winnipeg yesterday 5-2. So they improved that series to 1-1. And it'll go back to Denver also this weekend. And then in Major League Baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they got a win in St. Louis yesterday, 14-1. And they'll close out that series this morning at 11. Let's see. And also in Denver, the Colorado Rockies are getting a win yesterday, 7-4 over the Padres. They'll play them again tonight, 6:40 p.m. is that opening pitch. Well, that'll do it. That's all I've got for the regional sports report. Anything else you guys have back in the studio?
I know they're having a big celebration in Salt Lake today to welcome the National Hockey League team to Utah, and people are pretty excited about that. St. Louis Blues will be playing in Salt Lake here next year, Rhett.
Yeah, I thought the name that you showed us today was pretty entertaining, the Stormin' Mormons.
The Stormin' Mormons. They got white shirts and ties and a black name tag. And
I doubt that'll be the official name, but it is kind of humorous.
Pretty intimidating out there on the ice.
Yeah, I think they've asked for name suggestions, and yeah, it's pretty exciting. And I don't know, I wouldn't doubt it if they get a Major League Baseball team at some point too, but seems like things are expanding up there in Salt Lake City, so. A lot more options now for professional sports.
No doubt.
Well, I think they should be the Siffords, the Utah Siffords.
The Utah Siffords.
I don't, your brothers should.
I don't know how we could justify that, but I would love to take some of the proceeds from that for sure.
Yeah, I get you a percentage. Well, very good. Well, again, that's going to do it for the regional sports report. And with it, this edition of the Red Rock Morning Show. We're really glad that you joined us this morning, and we look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Until then, have a great Wednesday.